You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for the 19th of December. Smoothing. Do you remember smoothing? What would have happened had we smoothed? Huh? The standings match the schedule. A weird theory that's not Sundays. The Warriors and D'Angelo. It's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. Thanks so much for tuning in. Super appreciate you taking every day with us here on Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast about the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky numbers. You can just get in your car and tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Jazz. Siri, play. No, sorry. I don't want to say it. You got it. You can do that. Plus, you can tell all your smart speakers to do so as well. Thanks so much for tuning in. There's a big controversy bouncing around the iTunes world right now where a bunch of people's reviews have all been taken away and disappeared and all of those and somehow. So for all of you who have reviewed the show, thank you very much. If you have not, actually right now would be a really healthy time for me if you redid it, because they've taken a bunch of ways and we've had great reviews over the years. It's kind of a bummer. So thank you very much if you have done so. And if you want to do it again, I would greatly appreciate that. All right, let's get to today's show. Warriors are in town. If anyone thinks the Warriors are raw off, I hate to tell you, it's probably not true. They are 13-2 when Curry, Green, Durant, and Thompson play. Steph's missed 11. Draymond's missed 14. Our best bet on anything going wrong is that when DeMarcus Cousins comes back, he screws them up. I truly believe this, that everyone talks about DeMarcus coming back and, oh my gosh, and I thought Ben Golliver said it best on Locked On NBA when he said, DeMarcus come back, it just means to me I can't do anything but watch them every night. And that may be true. But any shot that Draymond Green takes rather than Steph, Clay, or Durant is a huge win if you're playing the Warriors. Well, Draymond is so humble about his offensive skills, rightfully so, frankly, that he doesn't take a lot. It's almost impossible to get him to shoot. And what he's really mastered when he is physically at his peak is the ability to, when not being guarded or given that space, kind of drive into that space, occupy that defender, and create something that still happens for Curry, Durant, and Thompson. Those are the three guys that are amazingly efficient, you know, great points gained players, and anytime you can get them not to shoot, it's your advantage. So now they bring back in a huge volume player in DeMarcus Cousins. And when he comes in, if he starts to whittle away at their possessions, that would be great. And then particularly you add, if you want anything, that Klay Thompson is not as good this year. Klay Thompson has actually slid into being a negative points gained player this year. And Draymond is subtly not as good. Now, Draymond only uses 7 possessions a night, but he's at 42% and 20% from 3 this year. So he's really, really scuffling. It's why what they're getting out of Jarebko has been so vital to them at 48% and 37% from 3. Jonas is a plus 0.7. He's been very, very good for them and playing 21 minutes a night. So when they do get Cousins, it seems like it should work, but they don't get extra possessions. So anything that pulls from Steph or Durant or traditionally Clay, not as much this year, that's going to be a big bonus for the Jazz or for anyone. And then the other side of this is that DeMarcus may or may not decide to play defense, right? He has not been a good transition defensive player. The Warriors are not as elite defensively this year because I just don't think they've entirely plugged in. I kind of feel like it's our only hope that anything goes wrong with him. Realize that when you look at DeMarcus Cousins, he'll adapt. He's coming off his Achilles. Okay, maybe. But in his years in the NBA, his usage rate has been 31, 33, 34. This means, what does this mean? This means he uses this percentage of possessions when he's on the floor. This is in the 100th percentile of all centers in the NBA. Okay? 100th percentile. No center in the NBA had a higher usage rate than DeMarcus Cousins. 32%, 33%, 34%, 38%, 33%. I don't, even with playing with Anthony Davis. So when he comes out and he wants to start using all these possessions, great. The only thing he can do is hold them back. Because as they sit right now, they're winning the title. We know this. They're going to win the title. Draymond's knee is the item and that could derail them if he's not right, and he doesn't seem to be quite right this year. He's in the 6th percentile of all points per shot attempt. And possibly DeMarcus Cousins. But as they sit right now, they're 13-2 when all four of them play. They didn't have a great start. Like, they didn't, you know, it was interesting when the year started. The thing that I wanted to keep an eye on and then we didn't get to find out because guys got hurt was, and then they went east and played bad teams, was their opening stretch the last few years in the Western Conference when they've played their opening stretch of 5 or 6 Western Conference games, they blasted people. They blasted people. And then this year they opened with an 8-point win over the Thunder, a 1-point win over the Jazz. They lost to the Denver Nuggets. They blasted Phoenix, and they blasted Washington. And then they went east, so we didn't really get to figure out anything about them. Then they came back west, and then they started crushing people again. Then they beat New Orleans by 10, Minnesota by 17, and Memphis by 16. And then they went into their doldrums. Then they were 10-1, Steph gets hurt, and who knows. Since then, they've kind of bounced back, right? They're 13-2 when they have them all playing. They've won 6 of their last 7. They beat Memphis by 17. They went to the wire with Sacramento. They got blasted by Toronto. They beat Minnesota. They beat Milwaukee, Cleveland, Atlanta. They've gotten to play some of those games. Well, we're going to talk about this concept more, but there are, the league is incredible right now. I tweeted this out last night. There are 7 teams, only 7 teams in the NBA that have a differential that is below, what was my number? Below 1.8? Below 1. Only 7 teams have a differential below 1. Contrast that, last year was 10, the year before was 11, the year before that was 12. That's why I'm going to get into smoothing here in a second, because I think this is a little bit of what's happened. And it could have been even better. The Warriors are the one outlier because the league didn't smooth. But since there's only 7 bad teams in the league right now, how many games you've played against those 7 are having an enormous impact on the Western Conference standings. So for the Warriors, who I didn't put up on my tweet last night, the Warriors beat the Suns, beat the Wizards, beat the Knicks, beat the Bulls. They've had 4 of them right out of the chute. Beat the Hawks, 5 of them. Beat the Magic, 6 of them. Beat the Hawks, 7. Cleveland, 8. So they've played 8 games. Golden State's played 8 games against teams that are of the 7 teams in the league that have a differential of 1 or more. Or more than 1. And there's only 7 of them. It's the league's amazing right now. The impact of this is super significant. And I will walk you through next how the standings almost exactly mirror in the Western Conference how many games you've played against these teams. It's stunning. That's coming up in just a second. Today's show is brought to you by The Store, my buddy, 6200 South, 20th East, this store, and if you haven't heard, they're opening a brand new store in the Gateway. So for all you who live downtown and have had to drive all the way out to 60th South and 20th East to go get your mudslide cookie and feel the awesome community feel of the store, you don't need to anymore because they're bringing community to downtown. 6200 South, 20th East right now, will be opening in the Gateway. I think it's the old J. Crew building. We'll tell you more about that coming up. I think it's going to be in May, hopefully, that everything gets open. If you're looking for all your holidays, there's all sorts of great things for you to get there. In the back left corner of the store, they have all their frozen meals, the great chicken pot pies and some other beef pot pie and some other items for you there. And then you turn over to your right-hand side, and they've got the barbecued chicken and their soup, their prepared meats for you. And then they've done this huge, great taste testing about, I know everyone's emailing me all the time how to pronounce it. I probably should learn. I'll have to write it down, get it right next time. They have these meats. They did 11-0 taste test, and they chose these meats. Is it the Haverford? I don't know. It's that. You got it. And their meats are incredible. Circle back around the right. Now you get into the coffee section, which I, of course, appreciate. They picked up the La Colombe brand on our family suggestion for their cold brew, which is just amazing if you've never had it. And then the Mudslide Cookies is right there on your way out. And the best part about the store, you'll see the young kids helping the older people back to their car with all their groceries because you just get that community feel. 6200 South, 20th East. I could talk about the store forever, but you just check it out and see how much you like it. And get that Mudslide cookie and make sure you tell them it's the number one soul cookie. Last minute holiday gift for you, grip6.com. Grip6.com/lock is the belt that you need to. Oh, yeah, you've been meaning to do that. Okay, let's do it now. Let's do it together. So go to grip6.com. If you're driving, please don't do it. If you're at work listening, then head over to grip6.com, plug it in. Lock 20 will get you one thing, but the best deal they have for you is the Lock 89, which is the classic pack, 33% off, three buckles, three straps, including the Grip 6 hanger. That's there for you. They also have, they're in the middle of their holiday sale, and they have a better deal for you, so you can click right there for you. Nice of Keenan to put that up so that Locked On Jazz listeners find out. And the selection is fabulous. They have kids' belts. They have men's belts. They have women's belts. On the men's lineup of things, the Craftsman's just terrific. I am a big fan, as I think I've mentioned, the carbon fiber series. I have the black carbon fiber. I think it looks really, really cool. They also have a new silver glass belt that they sold out of before I could go get one. Those ones are a little bit more expensive, frankly, but they're really cool. So you can check that out. You guys have done a nice job. You've made them sell out of. Their conservation series is really cool. I love the honeycomb belt. And if you're a fisherman, they have a salmon belt and a buffalo belt that looks really cool the way it straps, because the strap goes in underneath the belt buckle. And so it creates a background of the holes that exist and looks really, really cool. So check it out. Grip6.com/lock. All right, I think this is incredible, and there's a reason for this, and I'll let me walk through the reason first. So the league is better than it's ever been before talent-wise because of a few factors. One, we're the only league that has international expansion, okay? The really NFL doesn't have it. Major League Baseball has limited. We're the hottest sport other than soccer worldwide. Probably the hottest sport. Soccer's been there forever. So you have this incredible influx of international talent that is taking place. Now, the largest stars in sports right now for the last few decades are Michael, LeBron, Kobe, Tom Brady, maybe Peyton Manning, Serena Williams, Tiger Woods, right? Maybe Odell Beckham, kind of from a kid standpoint, I don't know. I don't think anybody else in the NFL gets that big. There isn't really a baseball star. Football's got two quarterbacks. Basketball's got these three guys that have absolutely transcended. And then Serena Williams and Tiger Woods have had their overwhelming impact. So the best athletes in the world that fit the size are going to the NBA. Third part of this is we've had no expansion, right? The most recent team added was the Charlotte Bobcats. It was a long, long time ago, and so we've had no expansion. The fourth factor that I didn't realize until talking to an executive in the NBA is the latest collective bargaining agreement and the big cap spike. This is exactly what the NBA wants. The NBA wants it so that I'm watching Brooklyn Lakers last night on the edge of my seat watching D'Angelo Russell hit a really terrible, ill-advised three. We'll talk more about D'Angelo Russell because I'm generally obsessed with him right now. To win it, and the Lakers lose a game that we're like, oh, maybe they should have won, and that's got an impact. I mean, it's that crazy. That's exactly what the league was hoping for. That's what the league has tried to build, is this incredible compact standings where you're going to have a feeling that for the final 30 games of the year, every game has something on it. Local markets are there. And sure, we have this one dominant team who happens to be in town today that's having their impact. But guess what? There's the only reason we have the one dominant team is that the union would not agree to the smoothing of the salary cap. Let me take you back. You're like, what the heck is he talking about? So the smoothing of the salary cap was when the TV deal kicked in and we had the huge spike in the salary cap. So there's huge money on the market. There was a one-year major blip from like $72 million to $100 million that gave everyone loads of cap space. What Adam Silver and the league wanted to do was to smooth that over a 2 or 3 year period of time so that it progressively would go from like 72 to 82 to 92 to 102 to 112. However you were going to do it. And the union, Michelle Roberts, who's terrific, all indications, was on her job just at the very first, very, very beginning. And I just think that the timing was wrong for that type and that big a compromise where Michelle Roberts' first move as a union head is to tell her players, by the way, I just bypassed about $30 million of your income. See, it wasn't small. If you just kind of think about $10 million, if you're jumping $30 million for 30 teams, that's $900 million of money that the NBA was trying to smooth. Well, Michelle Roberts' first act is not going to be to do that. You know, oh, by the way, we're only going to go up $300 million this year instead of $900 million. We're going to smooth it over 3 years. It'll be good. Well, it might not be good. The impact of that, so I understand exactly why Michelle Roberts said no. The league wanted that smoothing for a reason because what they've been trying to build this whole time with a new collective bargaining agreement, with the revenue share, with all the other things, is this level of equality across the league. And they've done it except for one team. And that's the Warriors, who signed Kevin Durant because of the smoothing. So what if there wasn't smoothing is a really interesting conversation. Or if there was smoothing. Durant does not go to the Warriors. The Warriors are now Steph, Clay, Draymond. They're great. They're the best team in the West, but they're not dominant. Toronto's probably still the best, but is Durant staying OKC? I doubt it. I would guess Durant may have gone to Boston, honestly. And now he's in Boston, and they're every bit as good as Toronto. I mean, it's a really interesting hypothetical. It's kind of a Bill Simmons great piece, or maybe one of his Ringer guys, on what if there had been no smoothing. If Durant, probably, let's say Durant goes to Boston. Hayward never goes to Boston. Does he go somewhere else? Did he just want to leave? Who knows? Maybe he goes to Miami. The Jazz are kind of where they are. Miami's rebuilt in that fashion. Does Kawhi still stand up in Toronto? Probably. You know, I mean, it's just a really fascinating what if, but the impact of it would be that the Western Conference would actually be 14 teams who were even more closely tight-knit than they already are. That we're doing this right now with kind of the understanding there's one team that's a little bit better than everybody else for all these conversations of parity. By the way, side note, Lakers have lost four of their last five road games or four of their last six road games or five of their last seven road games. Just a thought. It's hard to travel when you just want to run. And the losses are not great. The losses are, the last two are Washington and Brooklyn. All right. So now let me get to, my second point here. Let's go to the standings. And this is incredible. Listen to how this correlates. So Denver's terrific. They deserve all the credit. They're playing great defense. They have super confidence. You watch them play. They believe in themselves. Half their roster is injured and they keep winning. All the credit in the world. They've played seven games against the seven teams with a differential below one. Differential below one means over 100 possessions, your offensive rating minus your defensive rating. So these are the league starts to stratify, right? That you have usually, you know, 10 really good teams, 10 middle teams, and 10 not very good teams. So this year's going to be a little different, that you have a bunch of few really good teams. I don't think, and then you have 20 teams that are pretty darn good, and then you have 7 or 8 teams that aren't good. Someone else might fall back, but you know, Brooklyn has suddenly now got the longest win streak in the NBA with their win last night. Orlando is actually one of the teams with a differential below 1, and they're 14-15. So there's these 7 teams that have the differential below 1. Denver's in first place. They've played 7 of the games. Warriors in second place. They've played 8. OKC's in third. They've played 9. Lakers are in fourth. They've played 8. Clippers are in fifth. They've played 7. How about that? The top 5 teams have played 7, 8, or 9 games against the 7 poor teams in the league. And those are the top 5 teams in the West. The only other team that has played 7 or more is Dallas, who's this surprising upstart team that happens to have lost 3 in a row and 2-11 on the road, maybe fading a little bit. Luka Doncic is unbelievable. But they've played 9 games against those teams and are only 5-4. So to their credit, they're 10-10 against the others. But other than Dallas, the top of the standings, the 5 top teams in the standings, have all played 7 or more games against the lower teams. The Clippers, to their credit, or Portland, excuse me, to their credit, has only played 6. All right, and they're tied. Who's 7th? Memphis. Guess how many teams they've played? 6. The Kings, 6. Dallas, I mentioned 9. Now we drop to the next level of teams, and San Antonio is 16-15 and tied with Houston for 10th, and they've played 6. To Houston's credit, they've only played 4. The next team is the Pelicans. What do you think the guess is? They've played 6. That leaves 2 teams, the Wolves and the Jazz. And guess what? They've played the fewest. Timberwolves 4, Jazz 1. The standings are completely in a straight line correlation to how many games you have played against the 7 not very good teams in this league. Talk more about it here in a second. Homie is revolutionizing the real estate world. It's pretty interesting. I met with this Homie CEO, got to know them a little bit, really intrigued by their vision of how it is. What they have done is they've seen a marketplace where they feel as though there's a disproportionate amount of money going out to agents and real estate companies from the sellers and the buyers. So Homie has tried to change that by using a flat fee so you don't have to pay high commissions when you sell. Homie can sell any priced home for the same low cost of $199 to list and $1,299 at close. On average, Homie customers save over $10,000. That's equity right there. When you buy a home with Homie, you can also qualify for up to $5,000 buyer refund. Homie is selling homes faster than the overall market, individual agents. You not only save thousands, but can help sell your homes fast by putting Homie on your MLS and other websites, including Facebook. They have a team approach, unlike traditional agent. Homie uses a whole team of Utah licensed agents and attorneys to help you buy or sell your home when you get back. And they've got your back every step of the way. You don't have to do it on your own. If you use the promo code LOCK, you can get $100 off your listing of $199. It's homie.com. That's homie.com. Okay, so before we get into my little obsession of, a theory on the schedule that makes no sense at all, but I'll throw it out there, and my little D'Angelo Russell obsession, I find that little piece right there that I just outlined incredible. I can't call him a JA, I can't call him an AH. Somebody out there, well, it's just another Jazz excuse. I actually started blocking people last night on Twitter for the first time in like 5 years. Like, I snapped. I, like, blocked 4 people last night. Stop with the excuses. Shut up. Like, it's what we have is a tightly compact Like, really, the Lakers and the Jazz are similar. The Jazz and Minnesota are similar. Jazz and if you think the Jazz are considerably better than Denver, Oklahoma City, L.A., Portland, L.A., Memphis, Kings, Mavericks, Houston, San Antonio, New Orleans, Minnesota, any of those teams, I beg how. Like, we're considerably better? I don't think so. In fact, almost all of those teams have a star player that would seemingly be better than our best player, though I think Rudy is still undervalued. And all of them have some veteran scoring aspect to them that we don't have. But so, I mean, I could almost make the other argument, frankly. We're systematically approaching these teams in a manner that's trying to make us better than they are. But really, I mean, can you honestly look me in the eye and tell me that you think the Jazz are like should be way better than Denver, or like we should be better than them by a game? Your view is we should be better than them by a game or two in the standings. How about the Thunder? How about the Lakers? Come on, the Lakers have LeBron. Like, stop. How about Portland? We better? Okay, like how much better? Like we should win 49 and they should win 47? The Clippers, oh, we're better than them. Like how much? So my point is it's all very closely knit together. And so now suddenly the standings are completely right now in line with how many games teams have played. The top five teams in the standings have all played seven or more games against the seven lower teams, the differential. Portland deserves some credit. They're top tied in that group, and they've only played six. They're probably a little better than anyone realizes. But that next group then is Portland 6, Memphis 6, Kings 6, Spurs 6, Pelicans 6, Houston 4, Dallas 9. Okay, I'd be a little worried about Dallas with their 9. And I'd be Houston's coming. Houston's coming. Minnesota's 4, Jazz 1. I would wait to make a decision on what you think about Minnesota or the Jazz in considering what they've had. I got the usual, stop whining and complaining. Just sharing last night when I figured out that the Jazz will take 29th plane flight tomorrow in order to play 33 games in 66 games. 65 days. I might actually be wrong. It might be our 30th plane flight then to play the next day. We will take the same amount of plane flights as we took in the first 65 days in the next 124. That's insane. We will take the same amount of plane flights in the first 65 days of the season as we will in the next 124. All right, I have a theory on the schedule. Here's my theory. This doesn't happen if we expand to 32. I can't really explain this from a math standpoint. Maybe somebody smarter than me can. Here's my feeling when I look at, like when I break all these schedule things down, I see we haven't played any of those teams or other teams have. And here's the thought I have on this. And the thought I have is that it's almost as though the system creates 14 schedules for the East and 14 for the West that kind of just work very harmoniously together. Everyone's got a similar experience. Everyone's traveling. Like if one of the East Coast teams is on the West, then the West Coast team goes. Like it just works. But when you get to the odd number 15th team, if you break it in half, I don't know if this makes any sense. You guys are more than welcome to tweet me and tell me that I will not block you. That this makes no sense at all. It's just a thought. It might not make any sense. So if you break the West and the East and they build their schedules, they have to build their schedules kind of. They're building Eastern Conference schedules and Western Conference schedules because of the way the schedule, you're not playing equal amount of games, which we should. And so the 14 Western Conference schedules and the 14 Eastern Conference schedules can all interplay, right? Seven of those are home, seven are on the road, some are East, some are West. And then there's a 15th schedule for each conference that just is a mess. And we got it. And I think if I look at it, the Knicks got the Eastern Conference version. And the reason I bring this up is I was looking at Tankathon's strength of schedule rankings the other day. And what jumped out to me was the of the strength of schedule in the Western Conference, all of them, 14 of the 15 teams are of the 16 toughest schedules left. So if you look, Dallas has the toughest schedule, then Oklahoma City, then Houston, then San Antonio, then New York. Like, why is New York in there? Then Minnesota, then the Lakers, then Phoenix, then New Orleans. These are Golden State. These are all Western Conference teams. Miami, then the Clippers, then Sacramento, then Memphis, then Portland. So 13 of the 15 hardest remaining schedules in the Western Conference are Western Conference teams. And then there's the one team that isn't in here is Utah. And Denver is now actually slid out a little bit. But the other day, it was all 16. And then there was one Eastern Conference team, which was the Knicks. And so I almost feel like there's 14 Eastern Conference schedules, and there's 14 Western Conference schedules, and then the Knicks and the Jazz got these weird different schedules. The Knicks happens to be easy to start and hard to finish, and ours happen to be hard, crazy hard to start and then easy to finish. We'll see. The other thing that I think is just worth remembering on our schedule is our schedule was brutal to from a travel standpoint from the very beginning. And you can go back and find the things I wrote on the day the schedule came out. And then the comment I wrote was, "It strangely, but to the Jazz, should be okay. They have Memphis, Dallas, and Sacramento three times early who are not expected to be as good as other teams." And that's turned out to be different. And we went 2-1, 2-1, and 1-2. And maybe we expected to go 2-1 against all three of them, and maybe we could have gone 3-0 against Sacramento was the hope. So that's two wins right there. And then you're suddenly 16 and 15, and you probably feel a little different about things. All right. Hope you're great. Hope you enjoyed it. Thanks for tuning in. We won't talk about D'Angelo Russell and my obsession about him. Big shot last night. Bad shot. Went in. I've never had a player who I should like less than I'm so intrigued by. That is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz. Sam Amick joined the guys on Locked On NBA today. Make sure you subscribe to the Locked On NBA Twitter and Instagram feeds as well. It is Locked On Jazz, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.